What's up, sunshine? Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10. Happy Cinco de Mayo. And while we like to celebrate this holiday in the U.S., did you know Cinco de Mayo is not a federal holiday here or even in Mexico? It's actually mostly observed in one Mexican state, Puebla, to celebrate Mexico's victory over French forces at the Battle of Puebla on May 5th, 1862. As the years went on, many Mexican-American communities in the Southwest began holding Cinco de Mayo celebrations here in the United States. And over time, the holiday became popularized as the cultural celebration of Mexican heritage and traditions that we know today. The more you know. Now that we've kicked off the show with that fun Cinco de Mayo fact, let's get our minds right with some knowledge and information. Your 10 minutes of news starts now. We begin today with student loans. When a college student can't afford to pay for their tuition, whether through scholarships, grants, or hard-earned savings, they can turn to the government to borrow money and pay it back after they graduate. When the COVID-19 pandemic hit the U.S., the federal government decided to give college students a break and said they could hit pause on paying those loans back every month and without any extra punishments for paying them off later. Well, 5 years later, that pause is coming to an end. And today, students have to get back to paying off that debt. Here's the White House press secretary on the matter.
The student loan portfolio controlled by the federal government is nearly $1.6 trillion. But fewer than 4 out of 10 borrowers are in repayment. This is unsustainable, unfair, and a huge liability for American taxpayers.
Now the department is asking millions of borrowers with defaulted student loans to pay up by resuming their collections. Student loans go into default after 270 days without payment. And borrowers who don't make payments could be facing some major punishments. As soon as this summer, if these students or former students don't pay what they owe, the government could even make their employer take a chunk of money from an employee's paycheck to pay a debt. Now, there are some lawmakers that believe some of this student debt should be erased entirely, in part because tuition at American universities and colleges is at an all-time high. Here's Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren.
So remember that the proposal is to have income caps on it. So it's not canceling student loan debt for people who are making a bazillion bucks. I know everyone wants to talk about, you know, the person with the fancy diploma or whatever. 40% of these folks never graduated from college. So they're wrestling with student loan debt on what you make as a high school graduate. It's time to turn them loose.
All right, let's take a moment to discuss amongst ourselves. Press that pause button if you have to. Put your politician's cap on. What do you think? Should the government let some of these students off the hook? If so, why? If not, what are some of the reasons these students should pay the money they owe? Also, what types of questions might this topic bring about the cost of college tuition and paying for it in general? Now to a stunning story of survival in South America. Bolivian officials say 3 women, a child, and an airplane pilot were rescued Friday morning, 2 days after their small plane crashed into the Amazon jungle into an alligator-infested swamp. The pilot says he believes that jet fuel from the crash plane likely deterred these alligators from coming too close to them. Listen.
We were practically with the water under our knees, and it was deep. We couldn't swim, and because of the wild animals around, we couldn't move to harder ground. I thank God more than anything for a second chance that we are all here alive.
Miraculously, no one was hurt, and they survived on rations of chocolate and cassava flour before local fishermen spotted the group and called for help. The Bolivian Defense Ministry, they said about an hour after takeoff, the pilot reported technical issues before all contact with the aircraft was lost. The group was airlifted to the city of Trinidad, their original destination. 10-second trivia. What European nation was home to the first training facility for dogs in law enforcement? Belgium, Germany, Lithuania, or France? If you said Belgium, put your hands up. The earliest canine training facility started in Ghent, Belgium in 1899. They trained Belgian sheepdogs and wolfhounds, and their methods became the basis for the first canine units in Europe and the U.S. The roles of canine helpers have expanded to not only help police and military units, but also save lives when a conflict is over. Because even when fighting ends, many communities in conflict areas face the threat of landmines and other military ammunition that was fired but maybe didn't detonate as planned. One facility in Bosnia trains these dogs to be experts at sniffing out the components in explosive weapons. And they've been sent to conflict zones across the globe, including Ukraine, which is in its third year of war with Russia. Our Isabel Rosales tells us more.
Sit. Stay. Search. At this Bosnian facility, a dog's training can be the difference between life and death. Tail wagging as she springs for a red ball. May isn't just learning to fetch. She's learning to sniff out landmines.
Since the establishment of the center, more than 500 demining dogs and hundreds of dogs for other purposes have been trained.
Norwegian People's Aid runs this Sarajevo training center, sending dogs to conflict zones around the world. Countries like Cambodia, Zimbabwe, Iraq, and now Ukraine. Landmines and unexploded ordnance litter Ukrainian land. After more than 3 years of war, the country is the most mined in the world, the UN says. It's a deadly mess. Also a blow to exports and tax revenue, as undetonated explosives in agricultural fields keep farmers away. 26 specially trained dogs have been sent to some of the most embattled regions of Ukraine so far, and more will soon join them. Agents like May, whose keen canine senses are vital to the safety of civilians and soldiers alike.
We have this expression, this parallel, which says, one mine found, one family saved.
And it all starts here. Paws scurrying, tails wagging, heroes in the making.
Now to a remote region in the Brazilian Amazon, where a once isolated indigenous community just got access to the internet for the first time. The villagers there now have the ability to get online because of the Starlink satellite run by Elon Musk. It's changed warfare in Ukraine, sped up Wi-Fi on airplanes, and now connecting the most remote corners of the world. Our Nick Peyton Walsh traveled into Brazil to see what it was like when they logged in for the very first time.
It is night when the village really joins the new online world, increasingly one where they are together alone.
You want peace? I want problems always!
Kids use their parents' cell phones, and oddly, adults explain how to use them, a new rite of passage so distant from being taught fishing.
Mais doido assim, ele vê o vídeo que a internet mostra, né? Aparece um vídeo artificial, tudo isso, né? A gente também usa mais o WhatsApp, né? Usa mais o WhatsApp para comunicação, para emergência, essas coisas, né?
Adults, even after a year here, aware the damage these machines can do to them, but especially to children.
If you want to learn more about this fascinating effort to get internet access to remote regions of the world, check out The Whole Story with Anderson Cooper. You can stream it on Max or YouTube. 2,000 miles away from that remote village, a starkly different scene in Brazil's capital, Rio de Janeiro. Global pop icon Lady Gaga throwing a free concert for more than 2.1 million fans on Copacabana Beach. There's no official tally yet, but that would make it one of the biggest shows of her career. Before the show, Gaga surprised her fans, who she calls little monsters, with a rehearsal performance. Listen.
I know that this is not the first show here. I know that it's just a rehearsal, but it feels like it's the real show.
City officials say Gaga's visit could pump more than $100 million into its economy. More than 500,000 tourists traveled to Rio to attend the massive concert. That's more than twice the number the city expected. Mm. Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, an Olympic gymnast with a vaulting ambition to turn some young kids' worlds upside down. 21-year-old Frederick Richard of Boston, Massachusetts, who took home a team bronze at last summer's Paris Games, just took a leap at the world record for most consecutive backflips in 24 hours. He did 1,111 flips, live-streamed each and every jump, tuck, and stick. Guinness has to formally acknowledge the feat, but the record isn't even what was important to Frederick. The whole point of this TikTok campaign was to raise money to send gymnastics equipment to kids in Uganda.
We broke down costs of what equipment I want to bring there, mats, springboards, trampolines, mini trampolines. That's to start them off, storage facilities, logistics of shipping, and that's what it's going to take to really make a big difference.
Frederick says gymnastics shaped his life, and he hopes to continue raising money so that the sport of gymnastics can become more accessible across the entire continent of Africa in his lifetime. We are floored by your story, Frederick. Your feat has us flipping out. Way to tumble into realms of possibility and raise the bars on what it means to give back. You are beaming with positivity and a world record holder that has quite the rings to it. All right, time to show some love to one of you. Today's shout out goes to Mrs. Ames' special education class at Simmons Middle School in Oak Lawn, Illinois. Rise up. Thank you for starting your week with us, and thanks to everyone subscribing and commenting on our CNN10 YouTube channel for your shout-out request. Let's do it again tomorrow, shall we? I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN10.